Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is Hebrews 11 through 12:3. Here again the portion that reads, and I want to include the section 39 to 40. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is our text. This morning, I would like you to look at the back of your bulletin in Hebrews, and if you're so willing, open your Bibles up to page 1814, Hebrews 11, 1874, I'm sorry, 1874 in your Bibles. You see, last Sunday, I encouraged you to go ahead and count the names of the people that were referred there by the writers of the Hebrews. But what I really should have been doing is having you count each time it said by faith. You could say that there were five different people, and seven if you included Isaac and Jacob under verse 9, under Abraham. And then ending, of course, with Sarah. But I should have had you count by faith. That occurs seven times. Now let's take a moment in today's reading and find out how many times by faith occurs. In verse 17, we have by faith Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, 24, you have by faith, Moses. And then by faith, he in 27, 28, also refers to Moses four times. Then we have by faith, the people in 29. Interesting. Not an individual here. Something's changing. And then in verse 30, we have by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Well, when's the last time you've seen a piece of stone have faith? But you could assume that it was the people's faith that was evident in Joshua 6. Verse 31, we have by faith Rahab the prostitute. Interesting. She's not an Israelite. She's not even a proselyte with a good, clean life. She's listed as a prostitute. So, seven times. We had in last week's 11 more times in this text that the author repeats by faith with some surprises along the way, right? Now, of course, 7 emphasizes completeness, wholeness, like 7 days of the week. But 11? That's kind of odd, isn't it? 12 you could maybe understand. That would make more sense. Now, if you were reading Isaiah, you have this little trick. If he mentions 6, then you look for the 7th one. If he mentions 11, then you look for the 12th one. And he puts it kind of like a bookend someplace else. In other words, pay attention to what's in between. But what about here? Well, 11. In the New Testament, we know that there were 12 disciples, but Judas apostatized, so that made 11, because Judas betrayed Jesus and ended his life. And then at Pentecost, the disciples gathered together and replaced him as the 12. But why does the Hebrews stop at 11 examples of faith? Why leave the list incomplete with all the other questions? So let's explore. Remember the context. The book is written to Jewish Christians, ostracized from the temple worship, their families even in their workplace. They were persecuted, and some were put to death. Ah, yes, as they sit there, let's look back at the good old days when they got along with their fellow Jews, believing this Jesus was causing division and pain and hardship. Why not go back? The writer cautiously and pastorally is asking, will you be the missing one? Will you be the missing 12th in the list? Will you be the one missing from God's number? Like that one that fell away in the Old Testament, Dan, and later the tribe of Ephraim, and then later Judas. What the writer to the Hebrews is hammering away, his pleas with long examples, or a long list of examples, forging their agreement. Look at what faith is, he says. As we heard last Sunday, now faith is the assurance of things being hoped for in verse 1. For the conviction of things not seen. Now let me give you some examples, as if he had to say there. By faith the people of old receive their commendation. You agree on that? Yeah, we can agree on that. Now I'll go back to 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things that are visible. Can you agree on that? Yes, we Jews of the past, and yes, we Jesus-believing Jews of the present have this in common and much more. Besides, we have Abel, we have Enoch, we have Noah and Abraham, twice by faith, and of course, old dear Sarah. You remember Noah? You remember how faithful he was? Only he and his family. And by his faith, he condemned the rest of the unbelieving world. By faith, Abraham obeyed his call and then went and lived in the land of the promise, looking forward to a future city built by God. No, he did not receive it. Oh, by the way, Sarah, she defied nature itself by conceiving when she was past the age of childbearing. She and her husband were as good as dead, and yet they had a son, a child of the promise that God had made. Now, let us go on to the next 11 examples of by faith. The writer starts again with what we can all agree on, starting in today's text, again with Abraham. You think he's a little bit important here? And again, we can agree on Moses. I'll mention him 4 times. And then the Exodus, then the fall of Jericho. But here again, Jericho, things start to change a little bit in his argument, in his plea to them. He talks as if the walls of Jericho had faith. The people had faith as they marched around 7 times in Joshua 6. And here, what comes next? He gets right in their face of faith, gets right in our face of faith, as he mentions the dirty laundry. Rahab the prostitute is in this lineup of a hall of faith. It makes you ask, what in the world is this kind of woman doing here? She's like the Pete Rose of baseball. I suppose there are those of us who know about Pete Rose, right? And those that don't, go ahead and Google it. Rahab is in. Pete Rose, as you know, is out. God's word does this marvelous thing. He creates faith even in the Rahabs of this world. Yes, even in Gentiles. And yet you, he says, will deny and forsake, apostatize from the faith? Now remember, as he summarizes, as we heard before, in 39 to 40, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Apart from us. In other words, we're part of the whole. Therefore, reconsider your actions and your thoughts. The writer here does not cajole them to remain the number 12, to complete the tribes of Israel, or the 12 disciples, but then he points to this great cloud of witnesses. All of these 18 examples and more. But with this great cloud of witnesses, look where he goes. Not to you, not to the Jews of the past, but he points to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We, like those who went before us, are not perfect. And we are not perfect in our faith, but Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. Don't go back to the old, good old days. If you do, you'll miss the whole point of faith. It's all Jesus. Faith finds its fulfillment in Jesus. It finds its fullness in Jesus. It finds its completeness in Jesus. It reaches its goal in Jesus. Stop being addicted to the past. Get rid of the old ways. For without Jesus, the old ways are now sin, just as prostitution was for Rahab. Move forward in faith in Jesus. Let not trouble, let not hardship, let not suffering, even death, detour you. Run with endurance, he says, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Dear people of God, we have the same difficulty, the same trouble with our own past. We have the same difficulty and the same challenges in the community in which we live. It's so easy to look around us and say, you know, people have got it better than us. So easy to look at everything else with rose-colored glasses. Other churches have it so much better. We can think like the addict. You know, it was much easier being a user than to try to fight the addiction. We can find it so much easier to think that life would be better if we weren't so faithful in our Christianity, bending our faith to fit this world, to keep silent, just to go with the flow, when we should be standing in what we believe. It's hard to make choices so that our children are prepared to stand firm in the faith. It is hard when one child rebels against what we believe, teach, and confess. It is hard to go to work or to school in places that are anti-Christian and not to find anyone else to support you. And there are some of us that are in the verge of giving in. We may be so overwhelmed, so afraid. Even Jesus, remember, he warned his disciples in Luke 12, from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They'll be divided, father against son, son against father, and mother against daughter, and the list goes on. How much can we take? But see, that's to look inward. What our Lord does is to draw, and his word draws us back to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He took it all. He was faithful even to death. Death reached. Now I lost Emily. There she is. As you prepare to leave us here at St. Andrew, to help that pastor and that congregation in Cooksville, Tennessee, to be faithful in what they faith. Blessings to you as you are faithful to the author and the perfecter of our faith, so that they too, with you and us, may be a part of God's complete people, now and forever. Amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.